Romans 5, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. In Jesus' name. We are no longer slaves to sin, slaves to fear. Jesus did not die so we can fall back into slavery. Jesus did not die so that we can live in fear. Jesus died to set us free, to adopt us into a family where we can walk in victory all the days of our lives. That is the good news, church. That is the salvation offered in Jesus' name. We are no longer slaves, but children of the Most High God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh Lord, we hear your word, we hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we know you are here. Sharpen our ears to hear from you. Open our hearts to receive your love, to receive your word. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Lord, we cry out to hear from our Father this morning. Speak to us, Father. Strengthen us, Father. Embrace us with your love, Father. Drown our fears again. Cast all doubt, all anxieties again with your perfect love. We are longing to sit with you again, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, just take a moment. Take a moment. Say a quick prayer, a little prayer. To our Father, those of you who know you who you belong to, you know who your Father is. You belong now to a heavenly dwelling. Speak to Him. Ask to hear His voice this morning. We ask to hear from you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. As children of God and as a church, we say, Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Thank you, worship team. Oh, yeah. Amen. Good morning. Just excuse me for a moment as I wipe my tears. Good morning, church. Boy, am I ready to share a word that I have for you this morning. Let's open the Word of God. Let's get straight into it. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you are taking notes, I finally have a title for this message. I often don't. And normally at the back they're asking, what is the title of the message? And I'm sometimes impromptu making something up. But I do have a title, and I believe that God wants you to embrace the season of preparation. That is the title for the sermon this morning, Embracing the Season of Preparation. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read from verse 19. So 1 Kings 19:19. What I'll do is I'll set the scene. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, there were some major prophets in the Word of God, in the Bible. So in history, God had called some major prophets, and a lot of their prophecies have been recorded in the Bible. One of the major prophets that you will read about and you will often learn about, especially if you grew up in the church, is the prophet named Elijah. You know, he's the one that versed like all the prophets of Baal in one go, and he did some mighty miracles in his days by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Elijah was this great prophet of the Lord, a faithful prophet. And
he went to a point in his ministry, he reached a point where it just became overwhelming. Now, this was not recorded in the Bible, but if I was to meditate and if I was to sort of understand the personality that Elijah was, he seemed a little bit introverted. He seemed a little bit emotionally driven. And there was a point in his ministry where he got so overwhelmed just by the challenges that he had to face that he fell into a period of depression almost. And so before these verses that we are about to read, Elijah cries out to the Lord. His servant abandons him because of the hardship that they faced. And he goes out into the wilderness and he cries out to the Lord and he says, in a nutshell, I've had enough, God. I've had enough. Can I go now? Is my time up now? Is it finished now? And so the Lord heard his cry. And this is what the Lord said. He said, you will now appoint, before you go, I want you to train somebody to succeed you. I want you to pass on your prophetic ministry to somebody. I want you to intern somebody so that when you go, your prophetic ministry can still continue. And so God told him to look for a man named Elisha. So this is where it gets a little bit confusing, and I may mumble these names a little bit today, but the two main characters that I will be talking about are Elijah and Elisha. Elijah being the mentor and Elisha being the intern and the prophet that is to take over Elijah's ministry when he leaves this earth. So picking up from verse 19, it says, so Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him, and he cast his cloak upon him. Imagine that. Elijah says nothing. He just passes by Elisha doing his normal thing, and he just throws his cloak on Elisha. And he left Elisha left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah and said, I remember I have to use this thing. Oh, not yet. Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned, and Elisha returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. Elisha was just carrying on with his daily life. He seemed like he was a wealthy man because he had a couple of oxen and he had workers working for him as well. And the moment Elijah comes, says nothing, just simply throws his cloak on him, which was a symbol of Elijah passing on the mantle. So it was a symbol that he was calling Elisha to succeed his ministry. And so Elisha goes, what's going on? But in that moment, he realizes he had received the call of God in his life. You see, we do not choose God. But God chose us. Elisha was not looking for Elijah. It was Elijah who came to him and gave the calling of God upon his life. We do not choose God. When God opens our eyes to the truth of his love, to the wonder of his gospel, when he calls us to follow him, and the moment we encounter him, it is so powerful that we choose to repent and commit our lives to him. It was as if we made the decision to follow Jesus. But in truth, it was God who chose us. He chose us to open our eyes. He chose you. John chapter 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." That you should go and bear fruit. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, God chose you because he has prepared good works for you to do for the glory of his name. If this morning you are still asking the Lord, "God, what is my calling?" Whatever your calling is, it will definitely be something to do with living for the glory of God and serving other people. When God prepares good works for us, it is not for us, but for his glory. How did Elisha respond when God called him? The Bible says that he had a barbecue that night. He gathered all his neighbors and he had a farewell party. He killed his oxen and he used his instruments, his plowing instruments. He destroyed them so he could cook his oxen. And he shared it with their neighbors. And he said farewell to his family. The moment Elisha received the call of God upon his life, he left everything to pursue that call. If you are asking this morning, "God, what is the call on my life?" Even if God was to reveal that to you, are you ready to leave everything to pursue that call? This was the devotion that Elisha showed. He left his income. He left his home for the Lord. Do you think he expected that? It came out of nowhere, but his heart was longing to walk in the purposes that God had prepared for him. And the moment that time came, he responded immediately and pursued God. I know for many of you, God has called you to follow him. And God will not force you to make that decision. Free will always be ours. Plus, it's not glorifying to God if he forces you to do stuff for him. He would rather you do it out of relationship, out of love, simply because you want to, simply because you love him. That is more honoring to God. So he never forces us into anything. But I know there are many of you, the call of God has come upon your life to follow him. Are you going to show the same level of commitment like Elisha showed? And burn your bridges of the past and commit everything to follow Jesus. There was not even a mention when we read in what happened. There was not even a mention. So Elijah threw the cloak. It was just like, "Okay, you're going to succeed me one day." But he didn't anoint Elisha for the work of God that day. He simply made Elisha his assistant. He was just like, okay, come follow. And that was it. You will assist me. Let's fast forward to 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. We're going to fast forward. Now, this is the time Elijah was then, it was time for Elijah to leave and go taken into heaven. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said, do you know that today the Lord will take your master from you? God, Elijah's going to be taken to heaven today. And he said, yes. He said, keep quiet. He said, don't talk about his death out loud. 2 Kings, verse 2, following on chapter, verses 4. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today that the Lord will take your master from over you? And he said, yes, I know. Keep quiet. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. Going on to verse 7. 50 men of the sons of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the side and to the other side till the two of them could cross over on dry ground. It wasn't Moses who just did that. When they crossed Elijah and Elisha, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. You know, from the time Elisha was called to the time Elijah was taken to heaven, it was approximately 10 years. Now, most of the 10 years, actually a lot of the 10 years, was not recorded in the Bible. If you keep reading from 1 Kings chapter 19 up until 2 Kings verse chapter 2, gosh, that's in between, you won't read a lot of what was happening within these 10 years. But what we learn from the scripture is that before it was time for Elijah to go, he was saying his farewell. First in Gilgal, he met with the group of prophets there. Then in Bethel, he met with the group of prophets there. And then in Jericho, he met with the group of prophets there. So what were they doing within these 10 years? I was meditating on this, and the Lord revealed to me in my spirit, Elijah was discipling Elisha, and both of them were making disciples. They were training and raising prophets. Elijah was passing on his wisdom, passing on all the treasures of knowledge and experience from his ministry to these group of prophets in these three places. And before he left, he went to say his farewell to them. But Elisha was always to be his intern. You know, maybe God has revealed your calling to you, whether it be directly Or maybe through a prophecy, through a prophet that has once prophesied over you, and he prophesied the things that you will, that God will take you, the places God will take you, the things he will do through you. But you're looking at your life now, and you're looking at your situation, and you're thinking, either, well, I'm definitely not there yet, or that sounds impossible. For some of you, especially for those of you who have not yet made the commitment, but you have received a prophetic word at one time, and you're thinking, that's impossible? That's not me. Remember that the gap between the time Elisha received his calling to the time he was actually about to do what God had called him to do was 10 years. And within those 10 years, God was preparing Elisha for the call. Maybe if you are one of them that looks at, that has received the call of God or has heard the call of God and sees it's impossible, or sees it's like, well, I'm definitely not there yet. Maybe you are in a season of preparation. Maybe God is slowly preparing you for the call. You see, within those 10 years, not much was recorded in the Bible, which means nothing really significant happened. It was in the mundane tasks of making disciples, of everyday life in assisting Elijah, that Elisha was being prepared for the call, that Elisha was shaped for the call of God, that Elisha's character was being built, that his obedience was sharpened, that his devotion was strengthened, that his faith was added to him. It was in the insignificant times of everyday life and the hardships and the challenges that come with everyday life and everyday ministry that God was preparing Elisha for the call. Perhaps you are in a season of preparation. And perhaps all the challenges that you are going through, the temptations that you are facing, the trials, the hardships that seem to come over and over again, God has intentionally placed that in your life to build you, to prepare you, to equip you for the work that he will give to you. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that for those who love God, all things will work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. What this verse is saying is God is intentional. He is intentional. Nothing is outside of his control. Every hardship you face, every challenge you face, he is intentional to build you, to prepare you. If you love God and you're growing in your relationship with him, this promise applies to you. If you have recently given your life to Christ and you are learning to become this new creation and walk as a child of God, this promise applies to you. I know in this moment all you can see is your past, but watch. As one day God makes your past work for your good, for his glory, for his purpose. God is in complete control. Nothing that has happened in your life has been outside of his control, as painful, as hurtful as it was. Everything in your life will work together for your good, to equip you for the calling, for the higher calling God has placed. Do not let go, church. if you are still in that season of preparation and you're thinking that prophecy was years ago and there was a moment that you felt excited about it and the excitement has died away because you're just facing hardship and challenge after hardship and challenge, don't let go of that promise. Don't let go of that call. God is simply preparing you for it. You know, the hardships that I face and the hardship that Grace faces, my sister, they're different because my weaknesses are different to hers. Ultimately, my calling is going to be different to hers. But the purpose behind these hardships and these challenges are the same: to draw us closer to the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, physical training is good for those of you who go to the gym or who train in some form of, you know, bodily improvement. I don't know what that could be, you know. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. You could build your body, but that'll only be good until you're dead. That's what this verse is saying. But if you build your character, your spirit, the inside, that will last to eternity. And that's why we go through training. God wants to build that in us through the challenges of everyday life. God wants to teach you to obey Him, to teach you to listen to His voice. In the challenges of everyday life, God is teaching you to be faithful, to keep enduring, to keep believing, to guard your heart from unbelief. In the challenges of everyday life, God is teaching you to depend on His Spirit. The moment I became a mother, I grew more dependent on the Holy Spirit. The moment I become a mother of two, I bet you I will become even more dependent on the Holy Spirit. All the mundane things of everyday life, the seasons of physical life that we go through, God is teaching you something to prepare you for the good works if you are not there yet. Through the challenges and hardship, He is increasing your desire. I mean, you've noticed, right? Every single time you're going through pain, you look for God. Every time you're going through hardship, you run to the Lord. That's why sometimes we must rejoice, because hardship keeps us close to God. Even through the hurts of relationships, He's increasing your capacity to love. God is intentional. And you know what? God is gentle. God is gentle. He is abounding in mercy when He teaches us. Sometimes we think God is so harsh. But when He disciplines and teaches us, He knows what our limit is. And He is gentle. Often He's patient. Sometimes I look at God and I'm thinking, God, you're too patient. But He's wise and I am not. He is patient with us. Have you noticed maybe some of you are going through the same thing over and over? It's like the same challenge or the same hardship, or you're encountering the same feelings over and over again. It's loneliness again and again and again. It's a feeling of rejection again, 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 again. God is just patient with you. Learn from the season you are in. God is preparing you for something greater. Whatever situation you are facing, the Lord is still asking, whom shall I send? How many of you, if God was to show up today, you would say, send me God, even if that means leaving my home, leaving my income, leaving everything behind, wherever you take me, send me. Are you ready for the call of God upon your life? Because most likely it's got nothing to do with you and everything to do for Him and other people. You know, when God tested Elisha before he was anointed for this ministry. Before Elijah was taken up to heaven, he tested him. Two things he tested him. The first thing that God tested Elisha on was his devotion to God. Elisha, am I still your one thing? Is your heart still wholeheartedly for me? And he tested this by the three times Elisha was encouraged to stay behind. You know what we just read before? If you can remember, they were at Gilgal. And then Elijah said, you stay here. I'm going to go up to God's sending me to Bethel. And all the prophets were like, do you know he's going to die, right? Why do you keep following him? He's like, no, wherever you go, I will go. And he goes. Passed that test. Again, at Bethel, he is tested by the Lord. Elijah encourages him to stay. But then, the prophets encourage him to stay. But Elijah says, no, I will go where you go. I have been called for a purpose, and I will go. And he kept going. Second test passed. The third time, it happened again. And again on the third time, Elisha insisted that he will follow. He kept moving forward. He kept pressing on. His attitude was to pursue the purposes of God in his life. Not to wait, oh, you tell me to stay here. Ooh, the prophet Elijah tells me to stay here. I will stay. No, that was a zeal. He believed in the promise of God that he was to one day succeed Elijah. He believed that. And when he was encouraged to say, he's like, well, I haven't received that yet. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep pressing on. He kept moving forward. God was testing Elisha's devotion. Are you still the same Elisha? Despite the 10 years of mundane discipleship, everyday discipleship, and all the challenges and hardships that you face, are you still the same Elisha that would burn your income? Leave your home for me. And Elisha proved that he was still as devoted, perhaps even more devoted. 10 years later, he kept going. Turning back was not an option. If God has called you for a purpose, but all you can see is this challenge, is our sometimes it's like if you try to picture your future, it's cloudy because all you can see is your current circumstance weighing over you. Don't give up. Press on. Believe. Hold on to the promises of God. He will fulfill them in the right time. Elisha waited 10 years. He will fulfill them. Keep moving, church. When you are discouraged, run to God for comfort. Let his love strengthen you again. Don't let that discouragement dwell in your heart. When it gets difficult, choose to depend on God more. Seek for more portion of his strength, his power in your life. Don't give up. Because it was in the mundane tasks of everyday life that Elisha learned to keep going. Faithfully do what God has assigned you to do in this present time by the power of his Spirit. Some of you may think and may have dreams about doing something completely different. But you'll get there. Embrace the season of preparation. God is doing a good work in you. Maybe you don't see it, but it doesn't mean he's not doing it. Love and serve the people he's placed around you. Go, make disciples. Share the gospel. Don't give up when it gets hard. Even in your job, work willingly as though you were working for the Lord, not for people and not even for yourself. Be honest in your dealings. Be wise and faithful stewards to what God has given you. Serve your family faithfully. Live in obedience to the word of God every day. And learn to do all of that in devotion to God. There is a time for preparation, and maybe you are in it now. And there will come a time where God will anoint you for the call he has placed upon your life. But right now, if you are in that season of your preparation, embrace it. Let God mold you, build you. Every challenge God has allowed you to face is only so he can take more of your heart. Is God your one thing yet? Are you wholly devoted to God yet? A person who is not completely devoted to God will not live for the glory of God. And if God was to anoint them for a call, it would destroy them. Because God opposes the proud, but he will only give grace to the humble. Sometimes the season of preparation will mean God eliminating things in our lives that can hinder us from being devoted to him. For me, that meant taking away my HR career once and for all. And any chance of hoping for a six-figure salary. And even though it seemed harsh at the time, my year of being self-employed at Edwin's company just seemed like a roadblock in my life at the time. But now I understand that God was just pushing me forward closer towards his purposes and his call that I am walking in today. God was pushing me forward, and I had to move forward with God. Otherwise, I won't be where I am today. Sometimes the hardships and challenges that we face are to expose even the condition of our hearts. Because if God is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. If you were to look at your life, could you say that you are on the journey forward? Are you growing in your devotion to God? Or every Sunday you come and you're expecting the same thing as you expected last Sunday, because your tank is empty again and you need God to fill it. In your daily life, are you getting closer and stronger in relationship with God? Or is it just... Elisha had the attitude to keep pursuing God and believing in God's promises for his future. Wherever Elijah went, Elisha followed. Church, God wants more for you than you do. It's hard to believe that, because you can right now only look at what you are capable of, especially if you're living a completely different life to the vision of the call that God cast upon you. You can only see what you are capable of, but God sees your future, and God holds the power to transform you to become the person to live that future. So walk, keep following him, pursuing him, and he will take you there. Keep moving, church. I believe that for a lot of us, there are promises to be claimed this year, 2018. The promise of revival. The promise of healing. The promise of restoration. The promise of even prosperity. The promise of victory, and even for Praise Center, the promise of harvest. I believe in Jesus' name, there are promises to be claimed. And even though we cannot see that yet, we must embrace that preparation. Whatever God puts before you, do faithfully, wholeheartedly for the Lord, but keep holding on to the promise. So you don't lose that zeal for God. The second thing that God tested in Elisha was his desire. You know, when they crossed after they crossed the river, the Jordan River, Elijah says, well, what can I do for you? He doesn't even say, okay, it's time now. I'm going to anoint you. Well done. He asks. It was a test again. What can I do for you? If God was here today, if Jesus was here today, showed up, took over the mic and said, what can I do for you? For you, for you. You know, are you expecting like Oprah? You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. That was beyond a lot of your time, hey? What is it that is the desire of your heart? If Jesus was to show up here, do you know what Elisha desired? He said, a double portion of your spirit. Now, a lot of teachers, they've somehow made it sound like a double portion. He's like, ooh, double, whoa. But you know, that actually came from a heart of humility. Because a double portion of the Spirit of God meant there would be less of Elisha and more of God. And what that meant was, when Elisha asked for it, we said, well, Elijah had to depend on the Spirit of God. How much more do I need to depend on the Spirit of God? He's like, to pursue your purpose, to accomplish your purpose, Lord, give me a double portion that I may accomplish the work. In other words, I need you more. I desire more of you. I desire more of your Spirit at work in my life. Less of me, God, and more of you. That was the desire of Elisha's heart. What is your desire? You know, the truth is, our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. If it weren't weak, we wouldn't need salvation. And we're prone to underestimating the weakness of our flesh. But in the time of preparation, God exposes the weakness of our flesh, but then teaches us to depend on His Spirit to accomplish what He has told us to accomplish. God uses our weaknesses as a platform for Christ's strength and Christ's power to be demonstrated. I believe that. I have seen that in my life. Whatever God has called you to do, it can only be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you and through you. We must learn to walk by the Spirit if we want to be more effective in the kingdom of God. If you will not depend on the Holy Spirit in the small missions God gives you today, in the small discipleship tasks that He has called you for today, then you're not going to go anywhere if He was to give you the higher call upon your life today. The training ground, depend on the Spirit of God, that you will desire Him more. You will see the need for Him more. There are days where I've learned, and God has revealed to me this dependence. There are days where sometimes Levi wakes up too early and I don't get my devotional time. And I have experienced bad days because of that. I'm just a lot more tired, a lot more anxious, a lot more stressed out because there's so many things to do that day. And I just haven't had time with God yet to really settle me down. Edwin knows it sometimes. I'm like, Edwin, please take him. I just need half an hour with God. But you see, that hunger came from God exposing the weakness of not walking with Him, even in my daily life. Sometimes God gives us little tasks that seem impossible, volcanoes even, in our lives. But they are so that we would depend on His Spirit, desire Him more, because we need God to accomplish His purpose in our life. Why don't you stand, church? I'm believing God can accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think. But it will only be by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. So in this time of preparation, understand that God is just building in you a heart that is completely devoted to Him, ready for Him to take you further in your life. Understand that God is just building a greater desire in you for Him, ready for you to live that future life He has promised to you. These were the two things God tested Elisha on, his devotion and his desire. And after those 10 years of preparation, he passed the test. Embrace this season because God is calling you for more. I'm going to ask the lights to be closed off. And as we get in an atmosphere of worship, there are some things that I want to talk to. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will speak directly in your heart about. What is keeping you from moving forward with God? What is holding you back, says the Lord? I have a future promise, a marvelous plan for you. Haven't I showed you that I am good, that I am faithful, that I love you? So what is holding you back from moving forward with me? What is holding you back from getting you completely devoted to me? What is holding you back from pursuing the things that I love? For I loved you first. If you are overthinking, if you are a person that struggles with a lot of battles in your mind, know that the victory of Christ upon your life means that you do not have to be dictated by your emotions, that you do not have to be dictated by your thoughts. Do not trust your thoughts. Do not trust your emotions. Our hearts are deceitful. If overthinking or there's a battle in your mind that keeps paralyzing you from moving forward with God, know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5, Paul says, we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Did you know that our thoughts can be submitted to Christ? That our emotions can be submitted to Christ? God has not given you a spirit of slavery or fear. God has not given you a timid spirit, but of love, of power, of self-discipline. So what's holding you back? Submit those thoughts, submit those emotions, submit that fear under the power of Christ in your life. Maybe it's not being able to let go of your past. But Paul says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Stop looking back. There's nothing for you there. Can't change what's happened. But God can work everything together for good if you turn and look forward and move on with God. Somehow the broken pieces of your past can be used for His glory. If it's condemnation that's holding you back, know that that is the lie of the enemy. In Christ, you are no longer condemned. He does not count your sins against you. The things that you are going through in Christ are no longer punishment in your life. Move on. Move on, church. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He died for you. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. Even if you did that thing yesterday, He still died for you. if it's unforgiveness holding you back. I'm just feeling the heart of God right now. I know He wants you to move forward with Him. Forgive. Didn't I not forgive you? Forgive. Let go of bitterness. Let go of anger. It is not productive for you. It is not the future that I have set for you. It will only destroy you. If it's an unconfessed sin, make this the day you confess to somebody and ask for the healing power of Christ to set you free. Move on, church. There is a great work for us outside these walls. And you have been called. You have been chosen for that purpose. What is holding you back? Move on. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. Do not be passive. Pursue the purposes of God. In Jesus' name.
Started next week, we will have two services, morning and in the afternoon. For those of you who could not wake up earlier, you can come 1:30. So bring your new friends, new students to come along with them. Raise up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We do love you so much. Kau berkati dan pagari hidup kami dengan kasih setiamu. Kau ingatkan kami akan panggilan. Supaya kami bisa hidup melakukan apa yang menjadi kehendakmu, Tuhan. Walaupun masih banyak orang yang di luar belum mengerti Engkau, pakai kami sebagai anak-anak muda untuk menjangkau mereka. Pulang di dalam damai sejahtera Allah. Kau terima berkat dari Allah Bapa, Putra, Roh Kudus. Demi nama Yesus. Haleluya. Amen. Amen. I see you next Sunday. God bless you.